Judges chapter 11. When Brother Bill read his report, he said that we said last time turn to chapter 10. So we've made it a whole chapter since last month. But we did, last month was late. We had a week late. So it seems like we just had a business meeting. But Lord willing, this will get us back on track till May. And then we'll get off again in June probably because of Bible school. Maybe, I don't know how that's landing, but anyway, it seems like that always happens that way every year. But we're in Judges chapter 11, and so if you want to turn over there, and we'll read a couple of verses. I really appreciate, I had the opportunity last night to teach for Brother Kyle. They're out of town. They are in Tennessee at a missions conference down around Knoxville, and so I taught for him. And I actually went ahead and taught on Jephthah, what we're going to be looking at tonight. But what I taught last night was just a little bit different than it will be tonight. But there'll be a lot of the same. So those of you that were there last night, you just pray extra hard that the Lord would help all of us. And you might see something. I've already seen something I wanted to make a note of. I might preach on later on out of this passage. I have never preached out of this before or taught out of it until last night. And this is talking about Jephthah, Judges chapter number 11. And we're going to get down through verse number 11, verses 1 through 11. But just to start with tonight, we're just going to read verses 1 and 2. The Bible said, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman." And so I want to preach tonight, teach tonight on this subject. I'll give it this title tonight. Jephthah is a character study, but I want to call it this: the outcast who became a judge. He was an outcast, but he became a judge. Now, not all the people that we've studied about in the book of Judges were actually judges. There's been some of them that were not judges. You know, Abimelech, he was not a judge, but there's quite a bit that is said about him. But Jephthah was a judge. If you look over in chapter 12, verse number 7, it says this: "And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years, then died Jephthah the Gileadite, and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead." And so Jephthah was a judge. But to begin with, he was an outcast. Now, last week, if you were here, we just gave a background leading up to what we find takes place in chapter number 11. And last week, we preached on the subject, "Here We Go Again," or something along those lines. And what we have happening back in the last part of chapter number 10, the children of Israel, just quickly, they fell into sin. The Bible said, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord." And this cycle happens over and over and over again in the book of Judges. So they fell into sin. A result of them falling into sin is that they fell into the hands of their enemies. Verse number 7, "The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon," and so, or Ammon. And so they fell into servitude to a foreign nation. Then they got tired of that after a while, and they cried out to the Lord again. They prayed unto the Lord, verse number 10, "And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam." And so they cried out to the Lord, and finally God raises up a judge. God raises up a deliverer, somebody to come along and to save them from their enemies. And we saw the very beginning of that in chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. The Bible said, "Then the children of Ammon," or Ammon, I can't ever say that right, or the same two times in a row. But it said, "The children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead, and the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and princes of Gilead said one to another, What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And so we're going to find in chapter number 11 who they got to be the head over them. And his name is Jephthah. And so that's what we're going to begin to study about tonight in chapter number 11. And so this same cycle goes on over and over and over again in the book of Judges. And what it is in the book of Judges, it's a picture of the very last verse in the book of Judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so they continually go out, they continually go against God, they go against the word of God, and they continually get in a mess. And we just find that over and over and over. And this is dark days. We pointed this out last week in chapter 10, verse number 6. He said, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him. And so these days in the book of Judges are very dark days. They're very sinful days. And we pointed out last week, as they worship these other gods, that their morality would have been at an all-time low. And so it's very dark. They're very far away from God. And it is a parallel to living in the last days. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But we also have some highlights. And we come to these judges and how they served the Lord and how they brought the children of Israel out of bondage. And so we have some highlights. We have some bright spots in a dark, dark time. And Jephthah is one of these highlights. Jephthah is a very interesting individual. He is a odd mixture between that which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the spirit. You've got both in Jephthah, just like in our day and time. You can have somebody that seemingly is filled with the Spirit of God and then can just come off with some fleshly something. And so we're living in days where you've got just an odd mixture going on. Not saying it's a good thing, that's a bad thing, but what I'm saying about Jephthah is this: he is not chosen by the Lord. It's the people that chose him. Now, the last time the people chose a ruler, it really got them in trouble. That was Gideon's son, and we studied about him a great deal, Abimelech in chapter number 9. The Lord didn't choose Abimelech either, and Abimelech turned out to be terrible for the children of Israel. But the Lord didn't choose like he went to Gideon and the Spirit of God came upon him to begin with. Jephthah, the people went to him. And we'll see that here in chapter number 11. His brethren went back to him. And they said, if you'll come, you know, we'll make you the captain. We'll make you the ruler over us. So on one side, he's chosen by the people, not the Lord. But later on, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. Chapter 11 in verse number 29, and we'll not get down to that tonight, but later on it says in chapter 11 verse 29, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon, and God gave him a great victory there. So the Spirit of God came upon him. And so we have this odd mixture between the flesh and between the spirit in Jephthah. But there's some great lessons that we can learn from the life of Jephthah. Now, his name means this. His name means he will open. And if we study the life of Jephthah, here's what I believe his life does. I believe his life opens up the Word of God to us. I believe his life opens up some truths to us that maybe we've never seen, maybe we've never noticed before. But I believe in the beginning here, as we begin to study about him, Jephthah is a pretty good fellow. And so we're going to see some things about his life. Number one, talking about the outcast who became a judge. First of all, there is a bitter rejection. And we've already read verses 1 and 2, but let's read those again just to refresh our minds. Now, Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. And he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. That was his dad. Gilead was his dad. But his mother was a harlot. It means that she was a prostitute. His dad went out and, you know, this was what happened. But in verse number 2, the Bible said, and Gilead's wife, so Gilead, Jephthah's dad, had a wife. But he also went to a woman who was a harlot. And she got a child by him. But Gilead's wife bare him sons. And his wife's sons grew up. And we're talking about adult children here, these sons. They grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. And so first thing we point out in these verses is there is a bitter rejection. Jephthah, through no fault of his own, was rejected by his brethren. The Bible says in verse number 2 that they thrust out Jephthah. And as I read this and study this, I believe that Jephthah was probably the oldest of all of them. Because then in verse 2 it said Gilead's wife bare him sons. I believe he was the oldest one. And these sons, actually they were half brothers to Jephthah. They had the same dad, but they didn't have the same mama. His mother was a harlot. And the rest of these boys, we don't know how many there was, the rest of these sons was Gilead's wife, was their mother. So these men, these sons of Gilead, they were half brothers of Jephthah. Now, you talk about a dysfunctional family. You know, we think in our day and time, oh, my family's got all kinds of problems. And boy, you ought to hear what my family is going on in my family. And I think dysfunctional is just a family that has different problems than your family. Because as far as I know, pretty much all families have problems. They have things that aren't right. They have things that, well, that's just the way it is. Wish I could change it, but we can't. And so they had internal problems in this family. And you know, that is nothing new. We find that all throughout the Bible. We don't find a lot of what we might say perfect families. We find a lot of families that have a lot of trouble in them. Gilead's family had some trouble in the family. But you know, I preached a while back on Abraham. His family had problems. He had Sarah, but he went to Hagar, and he had a son by her, and he wasn't the promised son, and boy, I tell you, it was just a mess. And you think about Abraham's children, you think about Isaac, you think about Jacob and Esau, and Jacob deceived Isaac, and Esau went out, and I mean, them brothers, you know, they had bad blood between them, and they had bad feelings one toward another. And then we saw back in chapter number 9 about Abimelech, and boy, you talk about a bad family problem over there. Judges chapter 9 and verse number 5, the Bible said about Abimelech, and he went unto his father's house at Ophrah and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. And so he went out there and he killed all of his brothers. I'm telling you, there's some families in the Bible that has problems. David had problems in his family. Solomon had problems with his son. And so I think a lot of times the devil puts into our minds that God can't use us because, well, our family is this, or might not even be our family. It might be some situation in our family. It might be some past failure in our own life. It might be like Jeremiah. I've thought a lot about Jeremiah. He said to the Lord, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6, he said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child." He said, "Lord, I'm too young. Nobody will listen to me. I'm not old enough. I don't have enough experience." You know, there's all kinds of excuses that we can give to the Lord why he can't use us. But I'll tell you, God delights in using. God takes a delight in using those that are outcasts. Those that nobody else wanted, nobody else looked to, nobody else ever thought they would amount to anything. And the Lord takes great pleasure in taking somebody like that and using them for his honor and his glory. And I believe we see that over and over and over again in the book of Judges. A lot of these people were not perfect, but God was able to use them. And that's the way it is with Jephthah. He's not perfect. He's got some problems in his family, but the Lord is able to use him. Now, I want to point something out about Jephthah. He was rejected by his brothers. That's new language. His brothers didn't want him. His brothers and his brethren, both of them, didn't want it. You know, they didn't want him. They didn't want... But it wasn't because of anything that Jephthah had done. He hadn't tried to kill them. You know, there's a lot of that in the Bible goes on. He hadn't double-crossed them some way. He hadn't tried to be the leader of the children of Israel or anything like that. The Bible says in verse number 1, now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. He was a great guy. He was a great warrior. He was a man of experience. He was a man of strength. He was a man of stability. He was a man of ability. He was a man of efficiency. All of that is wrapped up in that phrase, mighty man of valor. If you went into battle, you would definitely want Jephthah to be on your side. Great warrior, great man. It wasn't his fault that they thrust him out. When he goes down to the next place that he goes to, they flock around him. I think he was a man that had proved himself by experience that he's a mighty man of valor. He is a proven individual of worth. So what a bitter pill that we find about Jephthah. He was the son of a harlot. And Gilead's wife, verse number 2, Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. What did they say to him? They said, go on and get out of here. You just need to go somewhere else. You just need to leave. You need to get gone. We don't want to see your face anymore. We're really the sons of our father. You're just the son of a harlot. Get out of here. And that's what he did. So that's why I say, well, you talk about a bitter pill. You talk about a hard thing to take. But that's what happened to Jephthah. Then look what the Bible says in verse number 3. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. Now look that up. That Tob is like Bob with a T. So I'm living in Tob, but I still got God. That'd be a good message to preach some night. Who ever heard of Tob before tonight? I had never noticed it in the Bible, but there we go. He dwelt in the land of Tob, which is actually in modern day Syria. It's on the Jordan River on the side of Syria. Syria is north of Israel. And so that's where he ended up. He ended up in Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And so Jephthah is a natural leader. As soon as he goes down, he comes into the land of Tob, and these men, the Bible said vain men, that means that they were without employment. You know, they're just, they're down in Tob. There's not a lot of manufacturing jobs. The factory closed down. Tourism is dead. And, you know, these guys are just sitting around. They're vain men. They're empty. They're unemployed. They don't have anything to do. But here comes Jephthah along. Jephthah is a natural leader. And leaders attract followers. And they come along and they hear that Jephthah is in town. And Jephthah is a mighty man of valor. And word gets out and these men begin to gather around Jephthah. And he takes this bunch of ragtag men. He takes these vain men and forms really a little army out of them. God's going to use them. They're going to gain a victory. But he wasn't just down there wasting his time. He's down there in verse number 3. These men begin to gather. When it says that they went out with him, that means that they went out with, became warriors. They went out to fight with him. Now, it's a bad situation. It is a bitter pill to swallow. But I want to say this about forgiveness. Jephthah done his brethren better than they done him. He's far better to them than they were to him. But we have a lesson here we can learn and say some things about forgiveness. Because in all of our lives, you know, there's going to be some bitter things that's going to come in our lives. People will do you wrong sometimes. Businesses will do you wrong. Isn't that a bitter thing? You go and buy something and it doesn't, you find out that it was, you bought something bad and the business won't stand behind it and you just feel like you've been done wrong. Or you go and buy something and you find out later on that they lied to you just to get you to buy something. Stuff like that's hard to take. Employers in your life will do you wrong. Governments will do you wrong. Sometimes even family members will do you wrong. People will do things to you that are wrong. They will hurt you. Now, what are you going to do about that when it comes? What did Jephthah do? You can either go through life and you can be bitter all the time. You can be hurt all the time. You can always talk about it. You can look for an opportunity to get revenge. But if you live your life that way, you will live your life miserably. That's no way to live without forgiveness. So you can live that way or you can forgive them. Now, forgiveness is a thing a lot of people misunderstand. Forgiveness, when we forgive somebody, you're not saying that what they've done to you was all right. You know, a lot of times somebody might say, I'm sorry, and you say, well, it's all right. Well, it probably wasn't all right. If it was all right, they wouldn't be asking to be forgiven. But when you forgive somebody, you're not saying that it was all right, that it was permissible to do whatever was done. You're not saying that. You're not, when you forgive somebody, you're not giving them permission to do it again. You know, I can say from experience that there's been people in my life that I've forgiven, but I didn't have lunch with them today either. And I didn't have lunch with them last month or last year. But you can forgive somebody and go on. If you've really forgiven somebody that's done you wrong, how to know if you've forgiven them, then when you see them, your stomach won't turn over. And you won't immediately think bad thoughts towards that person. If you've forgiven somebody, you can wave, you can go on and you can sleep good that night and it'll not boil and eat on you and bother you for days on end and bring it all back up and think about it all over again. Forgiveness gives you grace to move on with your life and not be eaten up with bitterness. Forgiveness is a great thing. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We are to forgive, especially the brethren. But you have to learn to live, or you have to learn to forgive, or you'll never be able to live a normal life. It'll just eat and wear and bother you. And there's people dies, and they've not forgiven people, and it follows them all the way to their grave. And so forgiveness is what Jephthah does. The thing about Jephthah that I admire first of all is that Jephthah, although he was done wrong, he ended up, now what actually happened here was dad died. And these brothers said, thou shalt not inherit in our father's house. You know, that's the way it is a lot of times. Everything is held together by dad and mom, but one of them dies and then the family falls all to pieces. And when they're up there splitting up the family farm and they look around and they say, you know, I don't see why Jephthah should get anything. He's not really, you know, his mom was a harlot and they run him off. So one of the hardest times, not just that they did that, but under the circumstances. And evidently there was some, I don't know, threat from it or danger from it, because it said in verse 3, then Jephthah fled from his brethren. He had to get out of town quick. He had to run away, and he had to go live in Tob. And so what I like about Jephthah is this. He moves on with his life. He grows where he's planted. And these men come to him and they begin to follow him. But not for anything wicked or evil. But will actually turn out to be for something good. So there is a bitter rejection, first of all. Number two, there is a belated request. Look what it says in verse number 4. And it came to pass in process of time. You ought to underline that in your Bible. You know, a lot of times we want things fixed, snap of the fingers. You know, have you ever noticed everything on TV is fixed in 30 minutes or an hour? But life is not like that. Wouldn't it be good if everything could be resolved in 2 hours? And that's not even counting commercials. Really, about an hour and a half. I mean, you can have 5 or 6 different problems going on, and they all just get resolved, and everything works out great. Life is not like that. But here the Bible says something very important. In process of time. Time heals a lot of things. Time softens heart. Time changes minds a lot of times. And so there's a belated, that's late, that means late, a belated request. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me? He doesn't just let them go. He has a very real heart-to-heart with them. Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. You just think about what they did. First of all, they kicked him out. They thrust him out. They expelled him. He had to flee town. And here they come asking him to come back. You talk about gall. Can you believe they had the gall to even go and ask him to come back? That takes a lot of nerve. When everything is fine and wonderful and things are going good and they're splitting up the family farm, they didn't want him. But now, when they're under attack, one of them little wimpy sons said, boy, I sure wish Jephthah was here. I sort of wish we hadn't run him off. Can't you see how that probably went? Jephthah, his name means he will open. There's some things we can learn by studying about this. We look at these brothers and we say, man, what a bunch of bad eggs. What a bunch of ungrates to run off their brother like that. And here they get in trouble. And now that they know he's a mighty man of valor, hey, who can come and fight for us? I know who can. Jephthah can. Go down there and ask him to come back. But you know what? That's exactly how we treat the Lord sometimes. When everything in our lives is going fine and good and wonderful and hunky-dory, and you know, that is the time that we say prayer and reading my Bible and going to church and the things of God, you know, sort of set that over there. But you let trouble come, let sickness come, let death come unexpectedly, let trouble come in the family, and then what's the first thing we do? Oh Lord, help me, Lord, I'm in trouble. We do the same thing. Do the same thing. So there's some lessons to learn here. And so these men, they come, they ask him to come back. They tell them they want him to be their captain. verse number 5, and it was so that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. The elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. They said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain. That means to be the top. I mean, that was as high as you could get. Be our ruler. We're handing our lives over into your hand. That's what we're going to do. If you'll just come back and deliver us. And so he questions them straightly. He said in verse number 7, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me? And now when ye are in distress, and the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. He does question them about their actions. Didn't ye hate me? That's what he said. And really, that's no different from how the Lord responded to the children of Israel back in chapter number 10. Because you remember the children of Israel went back to the Lord and they cried out in verse number 10. Chapter 10, verse 10, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorite sea? The Lord treated the children of Israel the same way. They treated the Lord bad. They came back, deliver us. God said, I'd already done it. I've already done it time and time and time again. So a lot of times we're guilty of treating the Lord the same way. Now we look on number 3. There is a better response. A better response. Now they come to Jephthah and they ask him to come back. They say that we will make you the captain over us. Now, if you put yourself in Jephthah's shoes, what would most people tell them fellas after the way he'd been treated? Sorry, you're on your own. You should have thought about that before you kicked me out of the house. You should have thought about that before you took my... You know, Daddy always promised me that I could have that upper field, and you kicked me out and I didn't get my inheritance, and you're in trouble now. Tough. I like living in Tob. You know, what would have been your response? And that's why I'm saying, here's a better response. Jephthah is a far greater man than his brothers were. His brothers weren't much. He had a heart to heart with him in verse number 9. But I like what he said. Verse number 9. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head. Now, notice that Jephthah doesn't say, okay, if I go and if I do this, notice who he gives credit to. He has not forgot about the Lord. He said in verse number 9, and the Lord delivered them. He was just willing to be used by the Lord. He realized that if he had victory, that victory would come from the Lord. And that's where all of our victories come from. You and I aren't going to do anything in and of the power of our own flesh. But Jephthah, he's a spiritual man. He knows the Lord. He knows about the Lord. If the Lord delivers me, if the Lord gives victory in this, are you going to do what you said you were going to do? And they promised him that they would in verse 10 and verse 11. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us. If we do not so according to thy words, then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Now they promised to make him the captain. But it was not just an agreement between them and him. But you notice in verse number 12 or verse number 11 that Jephthah brought the Lord into this. The Bible said Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Now, Mizpah is significant because Mizpah is the place that Jacob and Laban, remember when Jacob, you know, his name means a supplanter. He was deceptive in his business practices sometimes. And although he had not lied, he had not been altogether honest. That's the same as lying. With Laban. And then Jacob just up and left and took all his wives, Laban's daughters and all his grandchildren, and they just left. And Laban got mad and he come chasing after Jacob there. And they met in Mizpah. And they made an agreement there, Jacob and Laban, basically that they would not go to war with each other. They made a covenant before the Lord. Genesis 31 verse 48 said, and Laban said, this heap, and they got all their men to gather stones together and make a huge memorial or a huge altar there. In Genesis chapter number 31, and he said, this heap, talking about this heap of stones, is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Gilead and Mizpah. For he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. Jacob and Laban did not trust each other. And so they made a covenant. They made a big pile of rocks there. And they said, this is a witness. And the Lord is going to watch you and me when we're away from each other. They brought the Lord into their business. They really did not trust each other, but they both trusted the Lord. And Jephthah and his brethren, I don't believe really trusted each other. Would you trust them brothers after what they had done? So he uttered all those words before the Lord in Mizpah. He didn't really trust them, but he really trusted the Lord. And I'm glad even today, you know, there's times we can't trust everything we're told. But we can sure trust the Lord. The Lord will never tell you wrong. The Lord will never leave you. The Lord will never forsake you. The Lord never forsook the children of Israel, although he certainly, nobody would blame him if he would have. But you see, the children of Israel had been redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb, which is a picture of the church being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And if we've been redeemed by the blood, the Lord will never leave us. He will never forsake us. People let you down. People do you wrong. But the Lord will never let you down. The Lord will never do you wrong. And he uttered those words in Mizpah. People will fail us. The Lord never will. We can also take away this lesson. Don't be involved in any business that you can't involve the Lord in. How do we know it was right for Jephthah to go with them? He talked to the Lord about it. He told the Lord all about it. If you're getting ready to do something and you can't involve the Lord in what you're doing, you can't ask the Lord's blessing. You can't go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what they've asked me to do, and this is what I've said I would do, and this is what I'm thinking about doing. If you can't go to the Lord and utter your words before the Lord with a good conscience, you better not be doing it, whatever it is. And you know if you can or if you can't. If you're a child of God, you know what you ought to be doing and what you ought not to be doing. If you can't talk to the Lord about it, don't be doing it. You can't bring him in and ask his blessing on it. Don't be involved in it. Don't go down that road. You don't even have to pray about it. If you can't talk to the Lord about it, don't be doing it. Don't be doing it. And so he uttered, the Bible said there in verse number 11, uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And so we find Jephthah, and we're going to get into and. Somebody's been already asking me, you know, why did he do this and why did he do that? He's really an interesting individual. And so we're going to leave off with that, though, tonight. The outcast who became a judge, the one nobody else thought would ever amount to anything, God takes and uses him again. And that's been a recurring theme all throughout the book of Judges. So I appreciate your good attention tonight, and I hope you got something out of it.